Good evening. Very good to be together, to be able to worship God together, and very well welcome to Little Hill Midweek Bible Study. If you've not previously joined us, can I give you a special welcome that we be able to look at God's Word. And as normal, we shall be meeting after the Bible study at 8:15, and so we could have a time of prayer together and also fellowship. You can access that through the church's website. We are studying God's little people in Paul's letter based on a book produced by Brian Edwards. And this week we're going to have a look at a man whose life has been summed up in three short sentences. And so if you were to look at his biography, it's very easy to read because I'm going to read it for you in a minute or two. And we're going to study at the life of Epaphras. But before we do that, let's all come to God in prayer. Our Father, we thank you that you are perfect God and holy in your nature. You're merciful and kind toward those who truly repent and believe in you. We want to thank you for your love toward us and sending us the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you who he took upon himself a human form, became man, lived on this earth a perfect life and in complete obedience to yourself. We thank you also for your word. We thank you also for the Holy Spirit who is able to help us to understand your word. We ask, gracious God, you help us this evening as we read your word, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I said, we're going to have a look at the life of Epaphras. And you have two verses in Colossians chapter 4, 12 and 13. So you can have a look at that. And I'm going to read it to you. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. What we know about Epaphras is summed up in this letter of Paul in those two verses, and also a verse in Philemon in verse 23, where he says, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, send your greeting. So what sort of person we learn Epaphras was? Well, he was a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are told that in verse 12 of Colossians chapter 4. The scripture do not tell us anything about Epaphras' background. There is no mention of his parents and no mention of where he was born. We are told when Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, he described him as one of you. So we assume that he was born and brought up in Colossae or the surrounding area. And thing about Epaphras, he had quite a concern for the churches in that area. Paul described Epaphras as a servant of Christ Jesus. He wanted to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. There was no task too small or menial that he would not do for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was prepared to serve the Lord and whatever the Lord wanted him to do. The Lord Jesus himself came to earth by humbling himself, by taking the form of a servant and lived his whole life in obedience to God himself. He's one of the one he Jesus said about himself that he came to serve and not to serve unto. How did Epaphras demonstrate his attitude of service? He visited Paul in prison where Paul was. I'm not sure whether Epaphras was a visitor or a co-prisoner with the Apostle Paul. However, we are told about him that he was working hard. We do not know what he did. I think this is a good thing because it's not the task which we do for God, but we do what we do well for God's glory. So it's not what we do, it's our whole attitude, how we do it to God and for his own glory. What has God called you to do in the life of the church at Little Hill? Can you be described as a hard worker? We all need to have the same attitude as Epaphras had. He was not half-hearted about serving the Lord. Sometimes we can hold back serving the Lord and only giving to God certain amount of our life and some certain amount of our time. Sometimes we can decide that we only do high-profile jobs and not prepared to get involved with the stewarding, church cleaning, whatever task which are there, routine task in the life of the church. Well, Epaphras wasn't like that. He wanted to serve the Lord. Whatever task there was, he would take it on. Can you be described as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you be described as a hard-working servant? And we need to look at our own lives, whether we are. We also learn about Epaphras is that he was a man of prayer. Colossians 4:12 tells us about Epaphras' prayer life. We are all called to be men and women of prayer. It's not addressed to selected people. It is for all of us need to be prayerful people. And as we look at Epaphras' prayerful prayer life, we see that we all should be men and women of prayer. What was his prayer like? We are told he was persistent in prayer. His prayer is described as always. It's not this where we frequently fall. We pray and we give up. Instead of holding on and carrying on, praying and praying and praying. And Jesus never wants us to give up in our prayer life. He told the parable about a persistent widow. We found that in Luke chapter 18. Jesus said, he told them a parable to the effect that ought always to pray and not lose heart. And sometimes we can lose heart, can't we? Paul writing to the Thessalonians says this, pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17. So are we persistent in our prayer? And we also learn that he was agonizing in prayer. He was wrestling in his prayer, we're told here, quite literally, striving in agony. Here he shows the intensity of his prayer. He prayed always, but he would pray in agonizing way, heavy agonizing before God. We also told that he was intelligent in his prayer. He says, pray for them that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. He's praying for three things for the church at Colossae and the surrounding churches. These are, first of all, he wanted them to stand firm. Well, he had every reason to be concerned about the church at Colossae because there was a heresy going on, and that concerned the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Uniqueness of the Lord Jesus Christ was being attacked. We won't go into the details about the heresies, but Epaphras' reaction to all that was going on before God was that he labored in prayer. And he labored and struggled in his prayer before God. Paul used the word here, struggle in prayer, which means that he was in bitter agony. Sometime in our lives, things do not work out as planned. We do not get the promotion we thought we should do. Things don't work out as we planned. and a family member become ill, so we get an incurable disease ourselves, and our health begin to deteriorate. And you get on your knees then, you agonize before God because you want to be healed, you want to be restored, you agonize. And this is what Epaphras was doing in his prayer for the church. He was agonizing before God that they would stand firm with God and his word. As you get older, there are things you are unable to carry out for God as once you did. I often hear in conversation from some Christians, I can only pray now. This may be true, but prayer is not an easy thing to do. Have each one of us learned how to struggle and agonize in our prayer? Epaphras were fully aware of this, and he prayed that they stand firm. We need to pray for our brothers and sisters that they stand firm in the gospel. As you know, when Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, he was concerned about believers being under attack, and they needed to have the full armor of God. Remember Ephesians 6, verse 13 to 15. He was very concerned the church was under attack. Not just Colossae and Epaphras, and church continues to be under attack. And this is what Paul says to the Colossians, to the Ephesians. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes on your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. So he prayed for their standing in the gospel. He also prayed for the maturity of believers, that they might be mature in Christ. I think we as a Little Hill Church have a real passion for evangelism, because we want everybody to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We want them to believe, and that is a great priority in our life. It's a response to the Great Commission given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. However, our other priority also, we want all Christians to be built up in the faith and be mature. And that's why we need to be praying for each other, that we might be mature in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says in verses 27 to 29 in Colossians chapter 1, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this our toil, struggling with all his energy, that he powerfully works within me. What a responsibility the Apostle Paul had for the churches in that valley. And we as elders have a responsibility here at Little Hill. We want everybody to be presenting mature in Christ Jesus. And we need your help. And the best help you can give us, it is by reading God's word. Best help you can give us by praying. Best help you can provide for us by sharing and encouraging one another. You also want them to have the assurance of faith. What a great burden Epaphras carried. He wanted all believers to have the assurance of faith. They are to be assured that by putting their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are assured of their forgiveness of sins, and they are assured they have a peace with God. I wonder how do we pray for our fellow believers. It is right and proper that we pray for each other and support one another another's well-being. We are to act and behave as the body of Christ. However, we must not just stop there. We need to have a focus on believers' spiritual well-being too, so they are presented in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then finally, that he was a faithful man. Epaphras was faithful. He was undoubtedly a successful servant of the Lord, but he was also a faithful man of God. We learn in verse 7 of Colossians chapter 1, just as you learn it from Epaphras, our fellow servant, he is faithful minister of Christ on you. Paul emphasizes that he was a faithful minister. Can there be greater commendation than this by Paul to Epaphras? Paul does not go around flattering people saying they are faithful. He's very careful in his description of his co-workers. As far as I can tell, Paul only describes three men by the terms of being faithful. These are Epaphras, Timothy, and Tychicus. And you find that in Colossians 4:7, Tychicus will tell you all about my activity. He's a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servants in the Lord. And somebody else will be dealing with Tychicus in the weeks to come. And Timothy, 1 Corinthians 4:17. This is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach them everywhere in every church. What a great thing to say about someone with whom you labored alongside. Are you being faithful to God? Can anybody describe you as being faithful? What did Jesus say about being faithful? You can see what Jesus said about being faithful, the parable of the talents. We are familiar with this parable, are we not? Different number of talents were given, and expectation from the master was that they would be used for the glory of God. They all increased in their assets except one. This is what he said to the one who increased the talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." And in Luke 19:17 says that he said to him, "Well done, good servant, because you have been faithful in a very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. God has given us talents. And God has given us so that we could be using them, and so we could be serving him. And the danger we all face is that we see people with different talents and seek to desire those, or the quantity of those. What we all need to do is to use what God has given us. It is to those who use the talent God has given, more is given, more are given. That's what we learn something from that parable of the talents. God desires us to be faithful in not only using the gifts he has given us, but also continue to trust him in all circumstances. Let me read to you Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 as we close. "Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." So these are what God wants us to be faithful, like Epaphras was, even unto death. So some of brothers and sisters are and have been faithful even unto death. So let's conclude then. Do we have a servant attitude as we do things for God? Are we using the gifts and talents God has given us? It is what we do with the talents that counts, not just leave them like latent in our lives. I'll be people of prayer. I'll be praying like Epaphras did, agonizing for the Colossian believers, for their spiritual growth, for them standing firm, for them to be faithful in God. And we see the Epaphras were faithful to God as he served God, and Paul and fellow believers. How about us? We're all aware of Duke Wellingborough died on the 9th of April. And since then, the media has been full of achievements of what he managed to do. And I'm learning daily how much he managed to do and how he was able to serve. Lots of things been written about Duke of Edinburgh. Number of biographies being written and more will be written. But Epaphras' life was summed up in three sentences. How about our lives? Are we counted and thought of being people who are servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we counted as men and women of prayer? Are we being faithful to God? Would that sum up our lives before the Lord Jesus Christ? And may the Lord help us as we do that. Amen.